sobit mutra conglindli deva chembesam tuka devore corondi deva capon uptar paurci asla utrani conkni ulonshi odvi kaiti conkni manshanchi amchi
દેશ દીવ કેટલી સોબિત ઉતરા હું ભાવતીશ તુમકા સ્વાગત કરતા આયચા સુશેગા દનપાર પ્રોગ્રામ હોય આયચો પ્રોગ્રામ જસ્ટ લાઇક અધર વીક્સ પ્રોગ્રામ ઇઝ અ કરંટ વીક્સ કરંટ અફેર્સ પ્રોગ્રામ એ પ્રોગ્રામ વર આમી કંચાઈ પાર્ટી યા કેન્ડિડેટ પ્રોમોટ કરના વી સીક ટુ નો મોર અબાઉટ ધ કેન્ડિડેટ હિઝ હર વેલ્યુઝ એન્ડ પ્રિન્સિપલ્સ ધ પોલિસીઝ ઓફ હિઝ હર પાર્ટી and share with them the needs of the community. Amcha student as asa Mr. Kanwaljit Singh Bakshi, National Party cho candidate for Manukau East. His parliamentary responsibilities are chair, law and order select committee, and law and order caucus committee, member commerce select committee. Ani chancha sangata charcha karung ani wulong amche bhai asa Grace ani Bab Mr. Keith Fernandez. Welcome, Mr. Bakshi, to our program. Can we call you Mr. Bakshi on the program?
Definitely, you can call me as Mr. Bakshi. There's no hesitation. And I would like to thank you very much for having me on your show. And this is the 25th year of Konkani language being recognized as a national language in India. So I congratulate all the listeners and the Konkani people for this achievement.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Mr. Bakshi. Welcome, Grace, and welcome, Keith. I'm sure both of you are raring to go with your questions. Who would like to go first?
Okay, so I'll go first.
Fantastic.
Thank you. So welcome, Mr. Bakshi. To start with, we would like our listeners to know a little about you. So if you could please tell us about yourself, a little about your professional background, and if your family, if you'd like to share. And I think everyone wants to know why you went into politics in New Zealand.
That's a very, very common question which I have to answer all the time. And it has been 9 years in politics in New Zealand. And wherever I go, still people want to know about my family background and my profession. So for your listeners, I will be very brief because I know you have got heaps of questions to ask. And maybe your listeners would like to know more about the policies also because this is an election year. So I came to New Zealand in 2001. Before that, I came as a tourist with my family in 1997. And we liked very much to be here and found that people were very friendly. And in 2001, ultimately we decided to migrate over here. We could see that the future for the kids was very good, a very friendly country, and came over here. And the plan was to just take PR and go back, but fell in love and never went back, and here I am. So me, my wife, and my two sons, who were 8 and 11, came to New Zealand in 2001. Again, I'm telling this. And then started my own business, where went into few different areas to check which is the best suitable for me. Went into the construction, went into a motel, vending machine, and ultimately construction was the one area where I found that it was good for me. I could do the project management and carried on over there. And my wife also, I would say that my family supported me very well. We did some hard yards initially. It took a while to settle down. And in first 4 or 5 years, few times my wife thought that let's go back to India. And because I came from an extended family where we were 16 of us in one house living together, and suddenly we were just four of us over here, and she used to miss a lot the family. And obviously the perks you have in India are incomparable, because over here you have to do everything yourself, whereas you get a lot of assistance in India. And that's how we came and settled. And the political journey started when I came over here, and my family back home in India was a little bit connected to the politics. My father was an active politician, and I always wanted to get involved over here also. But the main objective was to get involved and make our voice heard by the political parties. And I went around, because I was totally new to the country, didn't know the system, didn't know much about the political parties, what are their policies and how they feel about us. And I found that National Party was very close to what I thought, my policies and my thinking. And I joined National Party in 2001 itself, but record shows that I joined in 2002. And then the journey started from there, and always been a National Party member, and here I am.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Mr. Bakshi. And I think it's similar to everyone who came here thinking it was going to be a holiday, or they were coming here briefly, fall in love with the country and decide to stay. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Definitely. Your last comment, that feeling that it is a holiday, my wife never realized that what migration meant and how many challenges she have. But she supported me very well. I am really thankful to her for her support all these years. And without the family support, you can't achieve anything, whether it is politics, business, anything. You need to have support from the family. And I'm very fortunate that my family supported me very well, and they are supporting till today.
So, Mrs. Bakshi, if you're listening to this, behind every good man is always a strong woman, and he just commended you for that.
Successful man, I thought.
Yeah. Successful man, strong man, same thing.
Mr. Bakshi, my name is Keith, and congratulations on being the first Sikh and the first Indian to enter the Parliament in New Zealand. Which is of greater importance to you, being the first Sikh or the first Indian, or does it matter at all?
I think I'm proud to be an Indian, and I'm proud to be a Sikh also. So I can't differentiate that I'm more proud of one thing and less proud of other thing. I'm equally proud of both the things, and both are very important. And there's a little bit of story behind this. To be very frank, when I was interviewed by some of the senior leadership in National Party, and one thing they said, that having you as a candidate, we don't have to tell anyone that you are an Indian.
Goes without saying, yeah. Yes, definitely.
Unless they think you're from the Taliban or something.
No, I don't think that. I think in my... Since 2001, when the Taliban came in, it has been only once I have been shouted as a Taliban, go home, but never. Most of the people, they know the difference between Muslims and Sikhs, but still there is a lot to be done, because there are many ignorant people. We have to teach them what is the difference. But obviously... the first impression who know about anyone who knows about India, if he sees a Sikh, he will automatically say he is from India. So I am proud of both the things. So I can't say that I am less proud of one thing and more proud of other thing. I am proud of both the things.
Well said. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Bakshi, you obviously have an extended business background, that's helped you when you moved to New Zealand, etc. What is your message to businesses out there that are currently looking to expand or are perhaps struggling? What is your message to them, and how can the government assist them?
I think this government is very focused on the businesses, and we want them to grow. And that's why we are trying to cut the red tapeism, and we are trying to give them more time so that they should be doing what they are good at. They should not be just sitting on a table and filling up forms. They should be going out, doing marketing, whatever they want to do. They want to expand the business. We are going to support them. That's why we are trying to open up the overseas markets for them so that they can sell the products not only to the Kiwis but to worldwide. Because what we produce in India, in New Zealand, we can't consume ourselves. We need to have outside markets, and that's why we are trying to get more and more free trade agreements with different countries or group of countries, so that there is opportunity for the Kiwi businesses to go out and have good market access for those countries.
Fantastic, Mr. Bakshi. With that, we will break for a song. Richard, can we play a fantastic song for us?
But you had some messages, you said.
We are going to do that afterwards, I think.
Is it? Okay.
Presenting one of India's finest classical voices. Experience a soulful selection of classical, bhajans and traditional music from India's foremost female vocalist, Vidushi Ashwini Bhide Deshpande, for the first time in Auckland. Ashwin Rang, September 16th, 6 p.m. at BNZ Theatre, Vodafone Event Centre, Manukau. For tickets, click Event Finder or call or text 0211-712-777.
सुत्राल सांता तो डोळ्यांक मुझा डोळे लावून पळे अशे उलयता कोटो मूक दी म्हाका तुजो उतरांनी सांगू हांव कसो मोगाक लागून तुज्या डोळ्यान उलयता असो मोग म्हाका गो चेडवा तुजो फांत्या फुडे परमळिते सांजेच्या वतांत भोंवचे फुल छाट्या फुलांचे ते जीवन एका दिसाचे फांत्या फुडे परमळिते सांजेच्या वतांत भोंवचे मुजो ओ सो स्मोगा एकच पावली तो फुल सो तुकास तो बावून पडूच्या फुडे तुझ्या काळजन तो सो होई मोगा.
वेलकम बॅक, यू आर लिस्निंग टू सुशेगा दनपार. And we are in discussion with Kanwaljit Singh Bakshi of National Party about the forthcoming elections with Grace and Keith. Before that, before we go into questioning, I have a few messages. With a sad heart, we regret to announce the demise of Nicholas Saldana, deeply mourned by his children, Ronnie, Monica, John, Jerry, and Edwin, with their spouses, 10 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. We also regret to announce the demise of Father Ashlyn Fonseca, who passed away in Mumbai. Please pray for their souls and keep them in your prayers. Let their soul rest in peace. Continue with the discussion. Grace, you're raring to go.
So, Mr. Bakshi, we now get to, obviously, how National is polling. So, you've got 58 MPs currently, two have resigned, so you've got 58. And obviously, based on 2014, your vote share was 47% or so. That obviously was because you all had a charismatic Prime Minister, Mr. John Key. So, with the changing scenario currently with the other political parties, like the Greens, Maori, etc., how do you see your position as a potential MP, and where do you see the party vote settling for 2017 election?
Thank you, Grace, for a very good question. I think it is always challenging to be in the election mode, and in MMP scenario it is more challenging because the minor parties, they get a lot of role to play in. And since the MMP system was introduced in New Zealand in 1996, since then not a single party has ever gained a clear majority. We have been very close to that for last 3 elections, but have missed by 1 or 2 MPs. But we had a very good support party relationship with some of the minor parties like ACT Party, United Future, and the Māori Party. And we hope that on 24th of September, we will have the same coalition again, provided if we poll to the similar what we did in 2014, that was almost 47%. Right now, we are a little bit lagging behind by a couple of percentage points, but we hope to make it up because we are working hard. We are trying to ensure that we go and tell people what is the difference between national-led government, which is futuristic thinking and have plans for the New Zealand economy, whereas opposition, they are divided and don't have any plans for New Zealand.
Talking about the election, Mr. Bakshi, your slogan is delivering for all New Zealanders. So can you tell us briefly what have you delivered in the last 3 years and what will you be delivering should you come to power again?
I think the biggest delivery is that if we start with the economy, when we came in 2008, the Treasury projected that we will have deficit for decades. But within almost 6-7 years, we have delivered surplus because of a good management, strong leadership, and capable financial management has brought this country back into surplus. That is the biggest thing. If we just compare across the ditch, Australia, they predict of deficit for next 10-15 years. I think 2025 is the earliest when they can think of any surplus. And 65 will, I think it's more than that, few billion dollars in deficit. Whereas we are in surplus, we can spend that money into the infrastructure. We have committed for a lot of infrastructure things, like we are just sitting right next to the Waterview Tunnel, which was completed in record time with a most expensive and most complicated project in New Zealand's history.
So, Mr. Bakshi, a lot of the growth, obviously, that came about was because of the rebuild from the Christchurch earthquake and stuff like that. But recently, there's been a something in the media that said 6 years for the rebuild, and why is it taking so long? And that's unacceptable, obviously, people living in broken houses and mold and stuff like that. And more recently, obviously, the Kaikoura earthquake. So what is the government going to do? What is the National Party going to do to alleviate the hardships that these people are experiencing?
Look, Christchurch was a unique situation where the after the major earthquakes, the ground did not settle for a long time. And unless that settles down, we can't do anything. So it took a while for us to plan how we are going to do it. And now, if you look at Christchurch, if you have been to Christchurch recently, you will see that a lot of new infrastructure has gone and the new plannings have gone in, so that is a world-class city, livable city in New Zealand and anywhere.
I think it was a combination, though, of the insurance companies not coming to the party as well. So has the National Party set expectations so we don't have a repeat of that with Kaikoura?
I think we have already, because EQC was also equally involved, and the major settlements were done. But again, there are many complex areas, if you look into those, where the settlement delayed. Because, for example, I had a claim for, say, $100,000 to rebuild the house as on the day, but actually, because of the shortage of labor, because shortage of material, actual cost was $150,000. So who will pay for that $50,000? That's why the insurance companies were waiting that actual cost may come up, what they need to pay, and make sure that the people who are affected, the victims, are not out of pocket. Okay. So there were many, many issues which were to be resolved.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate that, Mr. Bakshi. That was a good explanation. The National Party is generally regarded as very friendly towards businesses. And we've seen in the last 9 years, the gap between the rich and the poor has increased significantly under National. To give you an example, two wealthy Kiwis have wealth as much as the poorest 30% of us Kiwis combined. And especially in your constituency, which is Manukau East, most of the people over there are less than the average median wage of $70,000 a year. The question is, with tax and economic policies weighed against the self-employed, wage and salaried classes, what hope can your party provide to your electorate?
Look, that is one of the things which we really want to focus upon. We want to give more money in pocket for hardworking people. That is why we have got plan on 1st of April. We are going to realign the tax brackets, and that will bring $2 billion into the pockets of the Kiwis. And most of them are from the lower income bracket. It is not on the top income bracket. And if you look at the minimum wage also, when we came in 2008, the minimum wage was about $12. Mm. Today, yes. I think it is $15.75, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
Mm. So if you look at that, and the inflation has been half of that, so we have increased the minimum wage for double the rate what the inflation is, and we want to ensure people do have money in their pocket. We want to ensure hardworking people should have right to spend whatever money they want to, not the government should decide what money they are going to spend at.
So I think one more, and thank you for that, obviously, Mr. Bakshi. There's one more thing that really concerns people is about the education standards, right? And there's been a lot of controversy of whether it is working, whether it's judging schools or the quality of teaching in those schools, whether the decile rating is working, etc. And I think the experts have basically said, you know, the strongest influence on a child achievement at school is the factors in their life outside of school. And by that I mean, have they had food before they came to school? Have they had a good night's sleep? Are they moving around from school to school, which takes them time to adjust? How do you plan to address this in your constituency?
Look, I have been visiting my schools in my constituency, and I remember very clearly when this issue came up that the kids are coming to the schools without breakfast. And I visited one school in Otara, and the principal was really upset. He said, majority of children in my school are from the Samoan background.
Yeah.
And he said, I can assure you, out of these, majority of the kids, they come with the fresh uniform, they take bath, when they come to the school, they have breakfast.
So in the school, you mean?
No, from their home. When they come to the school, okay, they are totally fresh. They have got proper uniform, freshly.
Okay.
And they have breakfast. Some of them who can't have breakfast, the school provides for them. But it is very low number. And he was really upset that schools in South Auckland are being accused that the kids are not getting breakfast. Okay. So these are the things which are being exaggerated. We have got breakfast programs in the school. We have got fruits available in the school where the schools can opt for those things, and they take if they require.
There is no crisis.
I can't say that there is no crisis, but obviously there is facilities available, and Anchor provides a lot of milk to the schools for the kids.
Yes, Kids Can also does a lot of stuff for them.
Yeah.
And
the
sad part is, why should there be a Kids Can in a country like ours?
I think the responsibility comes to a lot of people. So
at this juncture, let us hear another song.
Yeah,
Richard has queued us a beautiful song to go along.
Sapna de tai tum mona kel tai mera jana jata hai swaga tu prayas jai sapna de tai tum mona kel tai mera jana jata hai tu kaya sai pasar por la pues valeri nagre param tu garde ta Thank you.
torir que al bae se verra ver bandai para ti matana si te quieras Toria torir que al bae se verra ver bandai para ti matana Mira sabe que es tu jeta
tu sapna tu etai. That's a good song. Yeah, you've been listening to Sushaka Dhanpar on 104.6 Planet FM, and you have been hearing to various topics discussed by Grace and Keith. And I would not say grilling Mr. Bakshi, yeah, giving him on time basically to answer the question. Grace is again raring to go, I think.
Mr. Bakshi, talking about grilling, let's start it. You are the chair for the Law and Order Select Committee of the Parliament. Now, these are two serious issues, especially in your constituency, which is Manukau counties. Some of the problems are increased level of domestic violence, which is reported as much lower, but because of the family honor and residency status of many of your constituencies, it's much higher than that. Second is the increased level of abuse of the elderly, where there are reports of children dipping into their pension or holding the elderly to ransom. And the third one is the social support groups working in these areas are flooded with such instances. Your government's response has been, I mean, let's put it fairly, so far been ineffective. And you as the chair of Law and Order have been very light. When do we see any action, Mr. Bakshi?
All right. That's a good start of grilling. So I'm feeling the heat. So, no, never mind. Just on the lighter side. Definitely, the government is very serious about it. These issues normally doesn't come under my portfolio as Law and Order.
Okay.
They are part of the social welfare. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But definitely we are very concerned. If we look at some of the stats, overall the violent crime is coming down. But these are the areas where it is coming up very sharply. And the reason
family violence.
Basically. Family violence, elder abuse. Yeah. The reason is that the awareness is coming among the people. We are trying to tell them this is not acceptable. That is why we have changed some laws where if you are aware of any such crime happening in your surrounding and you are not reporting, you are equally liable for that. So we are making people aware that if you know of anyone, and that awareness is working. A lot of people are being reported for elder abuse or domestic violence, and that is why we have seen a sharp spike in these reported crimes. And we are happy about it. We are not ashamed that it has sparked, but the thing is, we have got a lot of things to do. That is why we have introduced a new ministry, Ministry of Violent Children Crime, to avoid them. And that gives 8 agencies to work together. What was happening that on a single case, different agencies were working,
involved,
but they were not talking to each other. So social welfare was going, they were doing their part. Police was going, doing their part. Health was going and doing their part, but they were not talking to each other.
So
nobody was aware.
Coordinated efforts.
Yeah, but now we have passed the law to share those circumstances so that a collective viewpoint can be made so that we can target them in a proper manner. And you will see it can't be done overnight. It will take a little while to get these things done. But I'm very positive about this, that you will see in years to come it will improve a lot.
So I think that takes us to our next question about our young people, right? I mean, recently we had suicide prevention, etc. I've just got some stats here I'd like to share, Mr. Bakshi. The UNICEF reports in New Zealand the suicide rate is 15.6 youth per 100,000, and we sit at the bottom of the EU and OECD countries in the rating. Obviously, the government has been asked for data on child poverty, so people can make an assessment on how it impacts. We've not seen any of that come out from the government, but we've seen some stats here which I'd like to share with our listeners. So on the 41 EU and OECD countries, New Zealand rates 38th on health and well-being. When it comes to reducing inequality, we rate 26th. We on promoting peace, justice, and strong institutions, 33. And on ending poverty, obviously, we don't have the number. So would you say there's obviously this is an opportunity for us to sit together and decide. There's a lot to be done here, right? And how are you as an MP and the National Party proposing on dealing with these? Because I think any one child lost to suicide is one too many, isn't it?
Definitely. That's why there are certain issues, and if you have seen that we are putting a lot of money into the mental health area, we want to reduce that. That is one area which really leads to the suicide, and that is why millions of dollars have been allocated into the mental health. And we are seeing that it's not just a problem for New Zealand, but there was a meeting of health ministers recently where our minister, Honorable Jonathan Coleman, went, and he said that every minister was complaining about health, a mental health problem. It is kind of a tsunami coming in slow motion, and we are putting a lot of effort into this. I was talking to one of the policy maker from Canada the other day, and she mentioned that one in five in Canadians are affected by this. So it is not just New Zealand. But definitely the government is aware of it, and we are putting a lot of effort into it to ensure that we just cut down on these. As you said, even one suicide is too many, and we don't want to see this happening over here, because the youth are our future, and we want to have them as protected and savior for us.
Thank you.
Okay, and Keith?
Oh, Mr. Bakshi. My question is basically on housing. Do you believe there's a housing crisis?
Look, there is a problem because there was lack of planning during the Labour Party was governing over here, and they did not release enough land to build up new houses. That is why we have come up with the plan.
That's classic. You're coughing. You're pushing everything back to the Labour Party.
No.
But for a long time, our Prime Minister, the Honourable John Key, said that there was no crisis at all.
No, that's what I'm saying, that because there was no long-term planning, that is why we are trying to build 34,000 houses so that people can. And if you look at the whole situation right now, the Kiwi came up with the stats that the housing prices in Auckland are flattening up, and it is taking longer for them to sell because we have put in some restrictions on lending. Reserve Bank has put in those restrictions. Otherwise, if you look on the opposition side, they don't have any plan. They want to build 10,000 houses a year for next 10 years, but with $2 billion. Can you imagine $2 billion?
10,000 houses.
So I'll go back to my question on healthcare, health services, obviously, Mr. Bakshi, because we spoke about the Christchurch earthquake, and obviously people were impacted, and there's been a lot of issues with mental health, etc. The Ministry of Health has asked to cut services to save 17 million. So how can we provide the required services, not only for our youth, but for our adults, when we are cutting cost and obviously that's going to reduce the services, right?
No, I don't agree that we are cutting cost anywhere. $16 billion is the maximum ever spent in health sector in New Zealand. And that's what we are spending, $16 billion. Which is much more than what the previous government was doing. Every year we have been, even during the global financial crisis, we have been adding up money in health and education, and social welfare has been maintained. We didn't cut on these most important things. Whereas if you look at Europe, some of the countries cut their health budget by 50%.
Yeah.
So we are very lucky that we have managed this in a way that we didn't have to cut down on some of these areas which are of top priority for us. And we have been increasing the money and putting extra money into these areas. Look at the operations, elective operations. They have been increased every year. We have got
What I'm hearing here, Mr. Bakshi, is that you guys are doing fantastically well, but the people are unhappy. The gap has grown between the rich and the poor, and there are a lot of more social issues, as Grace was mentioning regarding mental health and everything else. So what I'm trying to say, it doesn't seem to add up. So there's something that's not going right there. If these issues are cumulative and they are coming more and more, and your efforts, as you say, are being so good, where are we going wrong?
I think there are challenges, and we are not denying to those challenges, but we have put more and more resources in each and every area, and we are proud of it, and we want to ensure that the people of New Zealand should feel safe, and they should have more and more resources. And if I give an example that recently, as I told you, that I was talking to one of the Canadian policymakers, and she said that you have got a much better system in comparison to some of the European. And
I'm sure we have a better system compared to Afghanistan as well, but that doesn't mean, you're...
No, I'm not comparing with Afghanistan. I didn't compare it with Afghanistan.
Guys, on that note, let us stop giving heat to Mr. Bakshi, and let's hear a good song from... Mango, mango.
Dali, deram tu sampoza. chamber to come out of Funga chain. Full Mola Tarbes by Tuka, a wait time Marie. Full Mola Tarbes by Tuka, a wait time Marie.
La la la, 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 la la la.
Welcome back. You have been listening to Sushega Dhanpar. Grace and Keith has been grilling Bakshi, so says Mr. Bakshi. But I don't think so. He was very, very calm, quiet, collected, calm, collected and cool. Three C's. Now I see Richard is jumping up and down to ask his question.
No, I'm still on my seat, Baptist. Why are you saying that I'm jumping up and down? I'm not jumping. Bakshi Sahib, New Zealand and the last 2 varsan ya 3 varsan to mostu Indian sailet, student sailet. Any majority students ibra Punjab, Haryana, Gujarat, Andhra Pradesh to nailet. Anga tang kate sangil lenki itle paise tele ar tuka degree meltali, residency meltale, ani pura meltale. Ata anga yon tanka problems elat. Tode kade kama melnant degree kai value nant orchard an kam kartat. Tu e parliament an tasonu, tu e ya student ank kali advice tum katuka.
Thank you very much for asking me the question in Konkani. My Konkani is very good. I won't be able to reply, but I have understood your question. But definitely it is an issue which we need to address. One thing which I would like to say is that there is no promise from the government side that you will get these things. When you come for the education, the students, I would like to advise their parents and to the students that you should do the due diligence, which institute you are going to, what is the expectation, what you want to achieve, and what you want to do in the future. So those things, unless you do that, some of the agents who are, I would say that, not performing their duty well in informing the students or the parents that what they are going to do over there. They are just showing them the green patch over here, that everything is green. But there are challenges. I can't say that everything is green anywhere in the world. Wherever you go, there you will find some challenges. And
so buyer beware.
Yeah. Before you come, you need to do proper due diligence of the institute and look at your background, what is your interest, what you want to achieve out of the education. If my, like, for example, remember that movie came in, Three Idiots.
Three Idiots. Mm.
So that's the simplest example, that the children wanted to do something else, but the parents wanted something else, and they were just pushed into a different direction. So same way, if you want to come, if you want to be accountant, you need to come into the accounting degree, or don't go into the business management. If you want to be a nurse, you go into the medical one.
So, Mr. Bakshi, obviously, it's been known for a while that some of these agents back in certain countries have been providing false promises to the students. And immigration's aware of this. So why is there no messaging out from immigration or from the government, or tightening of rules around these institutes, not only in New Zealand, but the agents back in those countries to prevent? Because obviously this is damaging New Zealand's reputation, right?
Yeah, NZQA has been very hard on these kind of institutes who are not properly delivering their promises.
Yep.
So some of the licenses already have been cancelled and they are out of the business. We can't do much about the agents because that is not in our jurisdiction. But on the immigration side, we have already got a law where the consultant has to be registered with the immigration before he can give advice or sign a form. So these things are happening, and that is why a lot of money, I think it is few million dollars, being invested into immigration to process the applications online. You could have seen that now you can apply your visa online, and that's where we are putting a lot of money in. to make sure that everything is electronic and can be transferred immediately. So these things are happening. It is taking a little while because to change the system, you need to have that expertise, and you will see a lot of things happening in the days to come.
Fair enough, Mr. Bakshi. But whenever we talk of immigration, I don't know, for some reason, New Zealand first pops up in everybody's head, and Winston Peters and immigration go hand in hand together. The question is, do you think if National Party does not get the numbers required, and they do need New Zealand first to form a government, will it be a yes?
Look, we are open for any negotiation or any discussion, but that will be on 24th of September. I can't say what we will do on today because it is the responsibility of the leadership, and obviously the caucus gets involved.
Yes.
But we are open to anyone, but definitely we'll see what are the supply and confidence conditions, and we'll work around that.
Very good.
Thank you.
So obviously, you know, there's going to be a discussions on bottom lines and what is required, and there'll have to be some give and take. What is it if you get into a coalition with New Zealand First? One of the things that they've said is they want to reduce immigration down to 10,000 people coming into the country. Right now it's around 72,000 to 75,000 people coming annually.
72.
Yeah.
72.
So how is National going to meet that requirement if they want to govern with New Zealand First?
Look, what we feel is that immigration is very important for us. If we look at some of the key areas like hospitality, tourism, horticulture, construction, we need people, because if you look at the unemployment, we are already below 5%. If you look at South Island, we are below 3%. And we need people. If you go and talk to some of the hotels and the cafes in Queenstown, they are struggling to find people.
Mr. Peters says there are 100,000 New Zealand people who can actually do the job. We don't need immigrants to come in. Is he right?
Okay, I will not give you anything else. 72,000 in a year coming in. So if we consume those 100,000, safe for,
yeah, still,
for
first
the
year,
sake.
For yeah. the first year.
First year.
After
gone.
That what?
After that what?
Yes.
So are we saying we're going to need 72,000 people
I'm
every
not saying,
year?
I'm not saying 72,000, but we need people who can come and deliver to our businesses. We want businesses to survive, not to collapse.
Okay.
Yeah, with that, we come to end of the program. We have asked Mr. Bakshi a lot of questions. Thank you, Mr. Bakshi, for being on our show. It was a pleasure to have you on our show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Baptist, Richard, Keith, and Grace for having me. I would say that thank you to your listeners who have had the patience to listen to me. And I hope that I'll be back in this show sometime later on, not just for the elections, but otherwise also to celebrate some of the festivals you celebrate and talk about few things.
Definitely we'll get you on the show now that you have told us. Thank you, Grace, and thank you, Keith, for being our gracious hosts today. Thank you. Thank you, Richard, for being on the console and giving us good songs.
Sabar, tenna suiryan dairyan cho ishta mitran cho aminge tau adar adar ditela cho kad santan madunk zayabar ani visrong pauna kelele upkar obrigat munon upkar toile purtu gesani
जोड़ उचल्या पावड्याची शिरवी स्पोरी मोहिन्याकला कानी जोड गाडियो बोंगले शिरवी दोरा जाय तिथले दुडू मोड खुशाल काहीन मारी जीविताची तोड पूण देवाच्या तांतल्यान येता पूण रोचणार देवाचे रिंग रातो जाता छाती फुलोन रोयलेली गामान शिपोन व्हडले झाड जाला देवान कांय दिवंक ना आधार नाका म्हूण तो मात्ता पाला दिशा मोला दीक जिवीत तुका देवान दिला दुडवानी काम करून घेतला म्हणटा उपकार कित्याक धरून कोवीत पुस्तक नीट रस्तो दाखयता जिवीत कशें सारूं देवाच्याच हाताना आसा मनशाच्या जिविताचे तारूं उपकार आटून सदांच म्हणा देव बरें करूं देव बरें करूं देव बरें करूं